presence of the Lord. There's a card going around for Brother Mike. If you would, please sign that, and then we'll get that back to Brother and Sister Hayes. We hope that that will encourage him while he's away from us in the military. If you would, and would like to read with me today in the reading lesson, I would like to ask you to turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 21. And I want to begin reading here in a moment with verse 14. This is an account that we are given of something that took place between the Lord Jesus and his disciples after his resurrection. But I want to preface this by making just a few statements before I begin to read. I've always believed and still believe today that the old saying is true, that actions speak louder than words. I believe that's very true. And when we think about love, I'm convinced that love is something, in order for it to be truly and fully understood, love is something that has to be shown and not just told. If I were to tell my wife day after day that I love her and never did anything to show her my love, to show her that I love her, do you think that she would believe my testimony? I mean, would she be able to believe by just the words that I say that I love her if I never did anything to show that to her? And the same thing goes true for our children or, whoever that we're talking about. If you don't make love manifest or make love known and show that, then the person is not going to really be able to know if you love them. And whenever that my love for my wife or children or friends or brothers and sisters, whoever that it is, when that comes to question in my heart, do I really love her? Or do I really love them the way that I am supposed to? And you know, we are taught in the scriptures, in certain cases, we're actually taught how that we are to love. The Bible teaches us in the, I believe it's in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, the Bible teaches us how that husbands are to love their wives. It gives us the mold of how we are to love them. We are to love them as Christ loved the church. And so when if you want to do that, if you want to have a proper spousal love, or if you want to have any type of proper filial love, human love, whether it's toward your spouse or toward your children, if you desire in your heart to properly love them, then when your heart calls that into question, it's kind of like a dagger sticking in you. You know, if the love that you're showing is questioned as not being what it should be, that's a tough question when you ask yourself that. But I believe that it becomes especially true for those who are saved when we have to question within ourselves, do I really love the Lord the way that I'm supposed to? Do I really love the Lord Jesus Christ the way that I should? And I want to speak about that today, about our love for Christ. Is it what it is supposed to be. Let's read John chapter 21, beginning with verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now listen to this verse. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. I'm going to stop my reading there, but I encourage you to go ahead and read the rest of that chapter and some of the things that the Apostle Peter said in the latter part of that chapter. Here's what I would like to ask every one of God's children to do today. Now, we see here and read in these verses about a conversation between the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Peter, and that isn't the only place recorded in the Bible where we have a one-on-one conversation between those two. But there's a question, and you'll find here in the 15th verse, the 16th verse, the 17th verse, Jesus speaking, and it says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Well, here's what I want you to do today. I want you to take the name of Simon, son of Jonas, out of that and put your name there. Put your name in there. Jerry, do you love me? You think about Jesus speaking that to you, because I'm convinced that he would want to know that of all of us as his children. Do you really love me? Now, I want you to notice also in this that it wasn't just whether or not the Apostle Peter had a love for Jesus, but initially we find when the question was asked, Jesus was questioning Peter as to the level of love that he had for him. Do you love me more than these? Now, we don't really know, to be quite honest in this today, we don't really know exactly what Jesus was asking him. When he said, lovest thou me more than these, the scriptures don't really explain to us what these were. There have been varying opinions. The Apostle Peter, after that the Lord had been crucified and after that he had been resurrected, we find that I suppose at a time when these men should have really been on fire, there really should have been nothing on their mind except going out and being witnesses for the Lord, Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. And the others said, well, we'll just go with you. And so they were out there, and they were, when the Lord appeared, they were out there doing that. that occupation that they had had before the time that the Lord ever called them into the ministry. And so when they were there, when they came to the shore and Jesus asked Peter that question, some have supposed that Jesus was asking Peter if he loved him more than he loved his occupation. If he loved him more than he loved the fish, if he loved him more than he loved the boat. Well, perhaps he did ask him that. Some believe that he was asking the apostle Peter, "Peter, do you love me more than the other disciples love me? Is your love for me greater than what the other disciples was?" And when we read these verses, it doesn't really tell us. Perhaps we can safely include all of that, because we are to love Jesus above everything and everybody else in the world. We are, in fact, the Bible teaches me that we are to love Him supremely, and that if we don't, that we can't even be His disciple. You know, there's a great criteria to be met if you want to be a disciple. I mean, you read what Jesus taught about that. There are things, if you want to be a disciple of the Lord, Jesus said there are things that you have to forsake. You have to. And we could look at the other apostles, or we could look at Peter's livelihood through fishing. And I think we can safely include all those things, because Jesus Christ said, if you don't love houses or land, mother or father, sister or brother or children or any of these things, if you don't love me more than you love any of these things or any of these other people, then you can't be my disciple. I think sometimes that we think that we can be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ no matter how we live or no matter how we think, and that's just not true according to the Scriptures. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you have got to love me supremely. I've got to be first in your life. I've got to be the one who you love above everything and everybody. And if you don't do that and can't do that, then you just can't really be my disciple. Jesus even made the statement once, and we find recorded in the Gospel according to Luke, Jesus made the statement, we don't even have to, according to what the Lord said, you don't even have to go all the way as far as turning back to the world. Jesus said, any man having put his hands to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Pretty rigid requirements, aren't they? But Jesus made them. The Lord Jesus made those requirements. And so we think about what he asked Peter here. And, Peter got his temper flared, evidently. He became grieved. He became a little bit perturbed with the Lord in what he was asking him. I suppose that Jesus asking this three times of the Apostle Peter was very proper, because isn't that how many times he denied even knowing the Lord? Three times he denied even knowing him. And Jesus asked the Apostle Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Peter, do you love me more than these other things? Do you love me with all of your heart? Am I first and foremost in your life? And then he went on, and what I find, something I find really interesting, you may think that what he told him in those two consecutive verses where he said, where Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, and Jesus said, feed my lambs, And when he asked him the second time, and Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Actually, he wasn't talking about exactly the same thing in the two verses. The word in the original language in which this was written, what Jesus told him, he was talking about to him basically the duties of a pastor, of an elder or bishop. And when he told him to feed my lambs, that came from the word of nourishment. You know, feed them, the word of God. In the next verse, when he asked Peter the same question again, and Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you." And he said, "Feed my sheep," came from a word that he was talking about taking the oversight of their care and watching over them and speaking to him about the various duties that would be incumbent to the office that he was going to fill. But I'll tell you what I believe for anybody, and some of you younger brethren, you know, preacher brothers, one day you may fill this office. But I'll tell you what I believe that any pastor has to have more than anything is he's got to love the Lord Jesus. I mean, he's got to love him supremely, or he's not going to ever help any church. He's not going to help anybody. If you don't love, if he doesn't love the Lord Jesus, he's not going to love the flock the way that he needs to. And so the Apostle Peter needed to have all of these things, and so does anyone else that's going to stand in that place. I want you to ask yourself this. I mean, you look down into your heart today. You do it for yourself. It's not for me to do. You do it for yourself. Do I really love him the way that I should? You know, one thing that we don't have to question, we don't have to question his love towards us, do we? When you talk about acts of love, and I've seen love, and I know you have in life, we have seen love prompt a lot of good things in the lives of people. We've seen people do things for other people that you look at that and you think, surely that person must really love that other person. You see, love makes itself manifest by the things that we do, not by what we say. You ought to tell your wife or your husband every day that you love them. You ought to speak it. You ought to tell them that every day. But if you don't show it, your words are not going to be convincing. We ought to tell the Lord that we love him. But if our lives don't show it, then that's not going to convince anybody, is it? And I'll tell you what, it's certainly not going to convince the Lord. You know, if you stay out of church 51 weeks out of the year and don't do anything for the Lord and don't do anything that he has said, and you show up once a year in service and you get up and you tell everybody how much you love the Lord, well, listen, folks, if somebody does that, I'll just leave that up to you to how you want to respond with it. But I'll tell you exactly what I think about it. They're lying. They're lying. If we love the Lord, we do the things that he's told us to do. And isn't that exactly what Jesus said? And isn't that exactly what the scriptures teach us? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And isn't the assembling of ourselves together, isn't that one of the things that Jesus has commanded us in his word? He did not the Holy Spirit inspire that? And the Hebrew writer wrote it down in Hebrews 10 and 25. And we are told in his word that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So that's one of his commandments, is that we assemble and we worship him. I'll tell you something else that the Apostle John told us. And listen, friends, there are people, I have known people in my life that will get raging mad and they'll fight you if you call them a liar. But you know what? The Bible does it. And I love to read the epistles of John because you never have to guess about what he was saying. He was so plain and he was so blunt and he spoke so plainly and so forcefully in the things that he said that there's no guessing in the matter what John the apostle was trying to tell us. I'll tell you what, if you don't love your brothers and sisters and you say you love God, John said you are a liar. It's exactly what he said. I'll give you the verse, 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And so, you may have seen people do this. I have. Go around and you know, every time you turn around, they're backbiting. They're saying something bad about somebody at their church. They've got something bad to say about one of the deacons or one of the members or the pastor of the church. They don't have anything encouraging to say. They've just got disparaging comments to make. And then they testify how much they love God. The Apostle John said here that those that do those things are telling lies. And you know what I'll do? I'll stick with the scriptures. I'll just take what the Bible says about it. You don't love your brother, you don't love God. It's just that plain and simple. John said, you can't hate your brother and say you love God. It don't work that way. How can it be? How can it be? How can you, your own brother who you have seen with your own eyes, how can you hate him and say that you love God who you haven't seen? There's no question, is there, as to what John was saying. If you love God, if you really love God, you're going to love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know what? If you love God, you're going to have a love for lost souls. You're going to want to see them saved and to have the same thing that you have. We love the Lord because. You stop and think about that for just a moment. When we're talking about the Lord's love, and I wanted to say this a moment ago and went in a different direction, but we certainly don't have to question God's love towards us, because the Bible tells us that He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave him, he sent him into this world to suffer and die for our sins. And when we see love begin to make manifest, when we see the actions of people begin to make love, listen, has there ever been a greater manifestation of love than what took place at Calvary? I mean, has love ever been more manifest or made known than when Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, who owed the world nothing at all, went to the cross of Calvary and submitted to that crucifixion, willingly gave his life there, willingly allowed himself to be nailed to the cross so that you and I, who did not in any way deserve to be saved, could be saved? I mean, could love ever possibly be made manifest any more than what it was right there at Calvary? I don't believe so. I believe it was the greatest manifestation of pure, agape, unconditional love that has ever been shown and ever will be shown to man. Amen. Jesus loves me. Even when we were dead in sins, He loved us. Gave Himself for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. He just loves us. I mean, Jesus loves us. You know, he doesn't love us because he just loves us. But we love him because. We find that several times in the scriptures. In the 116th Psalm, when David there is, I believe it's David giving his testimony. And he said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. The Apostle John said, we love him because he first loved us. You see, we love the Lord today because of what he has done for us. Those of us who are saved, there's a reason why we love him. The love of God, I want you to know this today, if you're lost and in sin, the love of God doesn't dwell in you. And you don't really love God. You know, you may think that you do, but you're fooling yourselves because that can't really happen until he puts his love in you. And in the fifth chapter of Romans, I believe in verse 5, we are taught there that when we are saved, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And think about it today, children, and let's just think about how great the question is that we find recorded in 1 John chapter 3. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You're never going to know any love better than that. You're never going to experience any higher level of love than what God has bestowed upon us in saving us from our sins. And because of that, because of what he did, we ought to love him supremely. But I'm afraid today that the Lord doesn't nearly get shown the love that he ought to from his children. He told Peter here, after he had asked him these questions, he said, after the third time when Peter got irritated with the Lord and said, Lord, you know that I love you. You know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, listen, when you were young, you did what you wanted. You went where you wanted to go. But when you're old, that's not going to happen. Somebody's going to bind you, and they're going to take you where you're not choosing to go. He was telling them about how he was going to die. And we know according to history that the Apostle Peter was crucified. He was crucified, and Jesus was telling him the way that he was going to die. And that he was going to die a martyr's death. And listen, friends, down through the ages of time, and let me ask you this question today. Those of us that are saved, those of us that are members here of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, because down through the ages of time, there have been many people. Some of them we find recorded in the scriptures. Many of those names we find recorded in church history down through the ages. But there have been saints of God that loved the Lord enough to give their very lives for him, to allow themselves to be burned and to be beaten and to be dismembered rather than denounce their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They loved him enough to die for his cause. Do you love him enough to live for it? Think about it. Because that's what we're being asked to do, aren't we? We're being commanded, honestly, to live for the Lord. To live our lives for him. You know what? There's more to showing our love for Christ than attending church. And I don't mean to just leave it there. That's one of the things that we have been commanded. And that's the very least that we could do, isn't it? I'm going to tell you something. You can deceive yourself and convince yourself all that you want to. Brother Dallas, when we're up in Alaska, Brother Dallas taught a great lesson. And one of the things he said in that was that we can justify ourselves in anything we want to. And you know what I say? Amen. Amen. We can. can justify ourselves any way that we want to, but if you've been saved by God's grace, if you haven't put your light on a candlestick, if you haven't submitted to baptism, if you haven't united with the Lord's church, you can sit back and deceive yourselves all you want to, but listen, you are not pleasing the Lord. And you're not showing your love for Him. Those that love Him, follow Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know what Jesus wanted to know of His people? He wanted to know, why would you even address me as Lord if you don't do the things that I say? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What happens? I mean, you know this as well as I do. If you've experienced spousal love, or if you've been blessed with children, what happens when you love somebody? You think about them, don't you? You think about them. You're concerned about them. When they're sick, you hurt. When they hurt, you hurt. That Paul said that's the way it's supposed to be in a church, didn't he? When one of us suffers, we all suffer. When one's honored, we all rejoice. We experience these things together if the love is right. And so you think about that person. You meditate upon them. You want to be with them. Have you ever seen two people that were married and just didn't seem to ever even want to be together? Something wrong there, isn't there? I mean, you want to be with the person. You want to spend time with them. You think about them. You want them to be pleased. You don't want to do things that hurt them. You don't want to do things that irritate them. If you really love somebody, you don't want to do something that hurts them. You want that person to be pleased with you. And if you really love the Lord, you will want Him to be pleased with your life. You'll want to live. You'll have a desire to live in a way that God will be pleased with you. So, you can ask yourself. You can take these questions that was asked of Peter there that we find recorded in John 21, and you can put your name in there, and you can imagine Jesus speaking to you and asking you, do you love me? Things in your life that don't look anything like Jesus, are you ready to get rid of them? Sin in your life, have you cherished it? Or do you want to get rid of it? You know, if you really love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will desire. Now, we're all going to fall short. I promise you that. We're all going to make mistakes and we're going to fall short. But if you really love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have a desire in your heart to live your life as close to the instructions in this book as you possibly can. That'll be your desire if you really love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what the Lord placed on my heart today. If you're not afraid to do it, listen, it won't hurt you. In the long run, it'll help you. If you're not afraid to do it, you question your heart. You ask the Lord to show you, Lord, is my love for you what it really ought to be? And if it's not, show me how. Show me how to draw closer. Show me how to draw nearer. Show me how to make it right. Show me how to be all that I can be in the service of the Lord. that my love for you might be manifest in my life from day to day. People around us, honestly, if you've never said a word to them, people around you ought to be able to look and say, that person loves the Lord. They ought to be able to know that by the way that we live. So, God bless you. I appreciate your attention today. I hope something's been said that's been help to all of us in some way.